Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Did you all have a good Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets? Wasn't that exciting? I tell you what, how many of you believe we live in exciting times? I sure do. Let's open with a word of prayer. I've got some very exciting things to share with you today, and I know the devil does not want this heard. And so that's why I think we're having some of these technical difficulties, but we're going to get this message out. Let's pray. Avinu, Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we are so excited about this weekend. The weekend that the Song of Moses is read and studied and sung. Father, we pray above all weekends, this would be the weekend we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your people in this day. We want to commit this time to you in Yeshua's name. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated. As you know, here at El Shaddai Ministries, what all of you and us represent is the goal of taking Torah to the nations. How many believe that's a good idea? Well, here's just a couple of quick pictures I just wanted to show you of people that are part of your family all over the world, as you know. This is the Rogers family and friends in South Africa who also keep the Feast of Trumpets with us. And here they are blowing their shofar. And then here's, and wait till you see these already fall colors up in Alaska. We have Bill Gerald and Paul Claus joining us, blowing the shofar. And then the other thing is, I don't know how many of you know Pastor Ray Bentley at Maranatha Chapel. I've been down over since 2009, about the last 9 years. I have been going down there every year for 3 or 4 years talking about the feast, the Feast of Trumpets. And so now they've been doing the Feast of Trumpets every year for several years. He has about 3,000 people in attendance. He sent me these pictures of the Rosh Hashanah service that they also do the Feast of Trumpets. And here's some of his screen. You may recognize about the spring feast or the first coming and the fall feast or the second coming. That was from his service on Rosh Hashanah. You might be familiar with some of these, talking about the signs in the heavens. And what's really exciting that he tells me, of course, San Diego has a little bit better weather than here. But here they have 3,000 people in their building. The nice thing is they own their own building as well. But after the service, they all go outside and they blow shofars. And so this was a picture of outside. They had some things set up and they were all blowing the shofars. But to me, it's just exciting that since I've been presenting the importance of the signs in the heavens since 2008, it's been 9 years now, but it's taken off all over the globe, all over the world. Everyone has just really been keeping the feasts. And let's just give the Lord a clap offering that his times are being made known. Do we have any visitors here today? I met several. Raise your hand real quick. We just want to acknowledge you. Let's give all of our visitors a big hand. We want to thank them for coming. We also like to find out where you're from. So where are you from? Long Beach, Washington. Yay! And how about there? Where are you from? Columbia, South Carolina. So great having you with us. You were at the Feast of Trumpets, too. So great having you with us. Yes, and
Denver, Colorado.
Woo! Great having you here with us. Where else? And yes, where are you from?
Sherwood, Oregon.
All right. Anybody else in the back somewhere? I don't see any hands. Oh, yes. Bellingham. Oh, Bellingham. All right. Well, it is so great having all of you here with us this morning. Together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Baruch Shem Kevod Mahuto Leolam Vayet. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Praise be the name of his glorious sovereignty forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them thoroughly to your children, and you shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for a reminder between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. When the word entered the world, freedom entered it. Its highest teaching is love and kindness. And that is the whole Torah. Go and learn it, honoring one another, doing acts of kindness, making peace. These are our highest duties. So let us learn in order to teach. It is a tree of life to those who hold fast, that all who cling to it find happiness. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Shall we return? Renew our days as in the past, the days of our first love. Amen. Father, we just commit this time again into your hands. We're so grateful that once a week, we can get together and rest in you and visit with you and you with us. Father, we just want to rest in your hands. We want to just lean against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. And I just pray, Father, today we truly would find that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Bless us at this time. And we just ask you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Jerusalem, Zion's King, will restore the land, the clouds will part, and our King will descend with fire in his eyes, seven stars in his right hand. Hu Yavo, Yavo, Hu Yavo, Yeshua, Hu Yavo. Yavoh, Hu Yavoh, Yeshua. Ooh, he came. The Lamb who was slain, he'll come again. Our conquering King. And on that day, his sword will go forth and take back and restore what belongs. What belongs to our Lord. Huyabo, Yabo, Huyabo, Yeshua, Huyabo, Yabo, Huyabo, Yeshua. The bride will go forth to the ends of the earth, declaring the way of the Lord. Beckoning the day when Israel will say, Baruch HaMashiach Adonai. Hu Yabo, Yabo, Hu Yabo, Yeshua, Hu Yabo, Yabo, Hu Yabo, Yeshua, Hu Yabo, Yabo. Yeshua, Hu Yabo, Yabo, Hu Yabo, Yeshua, Hu Yabo, Yabo, Hu Yabo, Yeshua, Hu Yabo, Yabo, Hu Yabo, Yeshua.
Have you heard the call to go up to the mountain of the Lord? It's a sound so loud, it cannot be ignored. Play on, old chauffeur, blast, lift high that trumpet sound. Join in all creation, let the trees and hills resound. There is none other like the one of Israel, who showed us how to live in his work he did reveal. He is the mighty one, the King above all kings. Shout out with one loud voice together as we sing.
Come really loud.
Come praise the one who holds the universe in his hands. Do you think that man can confuse or change his plans? He is the only one, he is the truth away. Let's praise our God in the night and all through the day. There is none other like the one of Israel, who showed us how to live in his word. Yes, he is the mighty one, the King above all kings. Shout out with one loud voice together as we sing. Proclaim his righteous acts so his goodness is revealed. From the mountaintops, in the valleys, and through the fields. Oh, how great and how marvelous is he, who was and is and forever shall be. There is none another like the one, Israel, who showed us how to live in His Word. He did reveal. He is the mighty one, the King above all kings. Shout out with one loud voice together as we sing. Let all the earth bow down before His blessed throne. When He begins to rule, earth will no longer groan. Let all creation come and bless His holy name. The one who was, the one who is, and forever is the same. There is none other like the one of Israel, who showed us how to live in His Word. He is the mighty one, the King above all kings. Shout out with one loud voice together as we sing again. Shout out with one loud voice together as we sing.
One more time.
Shout out with one loud voice together as we sing.
Thank you.
mystery behind the veil. War over heaven and earth, God of Israel. Come with your wisdom and power, close with your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts, come, O conquering King. And every eye will see your glory fill the sky. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Jerusalem waits, praises lifted on high. Hear the beautiful gates, long to see you arise. When all of Zion sings, Baruch Abba B'Shem. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai. Over all the earth, you are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. Yes, you are, yes. You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry.
Thank you.
presence. We can hardly wait till Yeshua is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we want to continue to be looking up. We know our redemption is drawing nigh. Father, until then, we are your children, the sheep of your pasture here on earth. And Father, we want to lift up those who have any physical needs, medical needs. Father, we just want to lift up all those that we know that have sicknesses. They're in the hospital. All those who might even be live streaming from the hospital. We just want to lift you up right now and know that our prayers are with you. Those that are sick, have diseases. Father, we just ask right now that you would, through your Spirit, to just go out and begin to touch your people. Father, those who are far from you, now that we're in the 10 days of Av, before the books are closed on Yom Kippur, we want to lift up all of our friends and family that don't know you. We pray, Lord, that their spiritual sickness would be healed. Father, that you would draw them close to you, that they would run after you, would not run from you, but they would know you for the great and loving God you are. Father, we want to lift up those that have financial needs, those in Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico, Mexico, Japan, these devastating events that have been happening around the world. We just want to lift these people up to you right now, Father, that you would be with them. And during these 10 days of awe, we also want to lift up our nation and all those from all the nations around the world live streaming. Lift up your nation right now. As we lift up the United States, Father, we just put our political leaders, our military leaders, our religious leaders in your hands. Pray, Lord, that each and every one of them would will to do of your good pleasure and not their own. Father, work in all of us, each and every one of us. And we all want to lift up the nation of Israel right now during these 10 days of awe as well, that you would draw them close to you and back to your Torah. Father, that they would commit themselves back to your word. That they would not turn to the nations for help, but they would turn to you for their help. And we just ask this in Yeshua's name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Thank you. Let's have the kids come up. We'll pray over them. And then we'll get started. Let's give the worship team and dance and flaggers and all those a big hand. They did wonderful. And let's give the audio video crew a big hand too. They do good. Able to fix every possible technical difficulty. All right. Where it's being a new year, there's all these kids have different classes some of them are in, and we just want to lift up all these kids and their teachers. We're going to end up having to pull that other tallit here pretty soon. All right. Let's extend our hands toward all of these parents and kids. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we just thank you so much again for all the teachers who just voluntarily give of their time to teach these kids your word. And we pray, Lord, that as they teach, your Spirit would be speaking through them. It would not be their Spirit, it'd be your Spirit. Father, that the kids would just be contagious of your word. They just want to get it and get it in deep. And we pray, Lord, that the seed of your word would be planted deep in each one of their hearts, that it would bring forth fruit to 100-fold. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. And amen. All right. I am so, so excited about this morning. It is going to be an awful lot of fun. And for those that have been standing and not having a seat, with the kids gone, there's now seats open. So feel free to grab a seat. What a blessing. What a blessing. And here we are. The Torah portion is Ha'azinu, which means to give ear. How many of you know in Revelation, it keeps saying over and over, he that has an ear to hear, what? Let him hear. Listen. You know, it's like, listen to me. How many of you feel like people are hearing you but not listening sometimes? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. God, you know, wants us in one sense at attention. many, many years ago, back in the 70s, I think it was, I took a class on attentive listening, you know. And does that ever help, really? How many of you, when you're talking to someone, they're reading the paper and they're listening, versus when they're looking at you eyeball to eyeball and you know they're getting it? And then sometimes people are looking at you eyeball to eyeball and you can tell they're spaced out somewhere. They're still not listening. Well, this morning, of all Torah portions, this is the one where God says, pay attention. And what's amazing is this Torah portion is the Song of Moses. I can't help but think in the book of Revelation where we're singing the Song of Moses. This is what the Torah portion is. It's the Song of Moses. And so we see we're to give ear to what is known. To the Song of Moses. And so we begin with Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 30, which is just before this Torah portion, but we need this verse to set us up. It says, and Moses spoke in the ears. I could just see him with a little megaphone in front of each little ear. Listen to me. Of all the congregation of Israel, the words of this song until they were ended. Now, what's important to know is just as Deuteronomy is the end of the Torah, it is very similar to the book of Revelation at the end of the scriptures. This is their book of Revelation, and you see it in Deuteronomy 32. So here we are, Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. He says, give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. So here God is pointing up at the sun and the moon and the stars. Here Moses is speaking into the ears of the people. God is speaking into the ears of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he's telling them to listen. I can just see the sun, the moon, and the stars. They are actively listening. Because how many of you know they do what God says?
Amen.
So this very weekend, our Torah portion just so happens to be, listen. And what is God doing? He is calling heavenly witnesses. The sun and the moon are his witnesses. So remember, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So God is having Moses speak to the people on earth. The sun, the moon, and the stars are his witnesses of what is being said. That's how I want you to see this. So listen to Psalm 89:37. Talks about his promises to David, and he says, it shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. In other words, the sun, the moon, and the stars are God's faithful witnesses. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness to our God. That's incredible. I mean, when we say the Shema, you know, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, you know, we're ascribing greatness to our Creator. This is where that whole thought comes from this verse. And then it says, God, he is the rock. Now, it's not a little pebble. He is the rock. It's immovable. His work is perfect. All of his ways are judgment. He's a God of truth. He's without iniquity, just and right is he. So let's think of the Song of Moses and what it's doing. It's proclaiming God first. God is a rock. And like the rock of Gibraltar, he's not going to move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see God is great. We see his works are what? Perfect. His ways are what? Just and true and right. The Song of Moses is always during this time of year when the heavenly court is in session. Rosh Hashanah, the gates, the court doors are open. There's 10 days of the court. Yom Kippur, the judgment is set, the books are closed, sentence is meted out. So here we have, right after Rosh Hashanah this weekend, court is in session. We are all standing before God. See, this is history repeating itself every year. And God is speaking to us through Moses, and the heavens are his witnesses in the court. So I want you to realize right now, in one sense, we're in court. This is a court setting. And what happened? They're giving, okay, here's God. Now they're going to present, and here's his people. And we're not going to be fine that we are always faithful, just, true. Okay, there. Here's the court setting. And now, look at this. I want to compare Revelation 15, 3 and 4. Look what it says. What did they sing? The song of Moses. And look at the similarities here. We just got done singing how he's the rock, he's perfect, his ways are ways of judgment, he's a God of truth, he's just, he's right. And what did they sing? The song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb sang, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, you King of saints. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? You only are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your judgments are made manifest. I believe, and those have been around for a while, this song will be sung this weekend some year. I don't know what year, but this is the pattern. And that's why in Revelation 13:9, if any man have an ear, let him what? And the Torah portion is, give ear. We need to understand, I believe these dates that are given in the Bible is the dates many times these events will be happening. Look at Psalms 19, 1 through 4. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. That's what it says. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. How can anyone look at the heavens and the stars and see it's just chance that these things were created? Day to day pours out speech. Night to night, the heavens are revealing knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Why? Because it speaks in every single language. There's no language on earth that doesn't understand the signs in the heavens. That's what's so great about the heavenly signs. How many know prophets cannot manipulate an eclipse? God declares that in every tribe, nation, and tongue understands that it is God who is speaking. Okay, so they just got done declaring the glory of God. He's just, right, and true. And so now, let's look at his people. Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are not even his children because of their defect. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Wow. That's what they said about in Yeshua's time, you know. And look at it now. Yeshua said, when I come back, will I even find faith on earth? Look at verse 6. It says, do you do this to the Lord or the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your dad? Your father who bought you, he's the one who created you, he's the one who established you. Do you know this is the very first time in Scripture where God is referred to as their father? You know, we sing, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so as it is in heaven is what it's supposed to be like here. And this is where it comes from. Your father is the one who created you. Your father is the one who establishes you. And they're saying, what? To the Lord you act this way? How could, you know, it says to honor your father, honor your mother. Well, there's an amazing thing that's in the Bible that many are not aware of that I want to bring out to you. And that is this. As you know, if you've been following El Shaddai for a while, in Hebrew there are anomalies that aren't brought into the English. There are letters that are upside down and backward, words with Hebrew letters missing, words with letters made real small, real big. Well, this is one that's real big. Right in this verse where it says basically, it's to the Lord you act this way? Well, what's amazing, you're going to, let me bring this up a little bit here. Oops, let me go back. Let me go here, and I want to go there. See the enlarged hay right there? Okay, it's real big. And the commentators wonder, why did God make this big letter hay right there? How many of you have that big letter hay in your King James Version? It's not there. Okay. Well, I want to explain to you something about the letter He. The letter He means to behold. It means to reveal. You'll be finding out about that about 5 weeks from now when we go over the letter He. But that He has to do with the glory of God. God's name is the Yud, He, Vav, He. And this is all about God's glory. It's the letter He being revealed. This is God's glory being revealed. And so in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the end of the Torah, all of a sudden we have this enlarged He, which means this is the time when God's glory is going to be revealed like never before. But what's amazing, did you know in the book of Genesis, there's a diminished He. It's real small. This is in Genesis 2:4. It says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Well, here is that Hebrew word for when they were created. And you'll notice the letter He is made real small. And so that's why we have the enlarged He at the end of the book, because we have the diminished He at the beginning of the book. And the commentators were wondering, how was God's glory diminished? What happened that affected it? And they say that refers to the fall of Satan, when the heavens were created and the earth, and Satan rebelled trying to diminish the glory of God. That's what happened in the beginning. But guess what? In Deuteronomy, God's getting all the glory back. And so that's what's exciting about this. But now let's look at Psalm 89, 26 through 29. Talking about God as our Father. Concerning David, he says, he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the what? You're the rock of my salvation. How many of you are glad God is your rock? Peter is not the rock. God is the rock. But now it's referring to the Messiah. It says, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant will stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne is the days of heaven. Pretty exciting. Look at verse 30 through 36 concerning Israel, or the seed of the Messiah. I think this is a very interesting verse that most people don't really contemplate, especially when it comes to replacement theology, thinking God has rejected Israel. Look at this. It says concerning David's seed, if his children forsake my Torah and they don't walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and they don't keep my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever in his throne as the sun before me. That's powerful. How many believe God keeps his vows? Very important. And so look at the Song of Moses, verse 10. It says concerning Israel, he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. For God, Israel is the apple of his eye. And if you go poking at Israel, you're poking God in the eye. But look what happens. How many of you know, everyone turns to God in the bad times? How many of us turn to God in the good times? Now, we don't need God now. Everything's great. God, I'll call you when I need you. Stay out of my life right now. Now it's all about me, you know. That's what happens. And that's what happened with Israel. Yeshurun, how many of you had nicknames your parents gave you other than your name growing up? You know, I had 8 brothers and sisters. All of us had nicknames, you know. But here, this was a nickname to Israel, which, you know, interestingly, it basically means upright, which they weren't. But what happened, it says Yeshurun waxed fat and kicked. You are waxen fat. You are grown thick. You're covered with fatness. And what happens when we're successful? It says, then he forsook God, which made him, and he lightly esteemed that rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed to devils, not to God, to gods whom they didn't even know, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers never feared. And then it says, of the rock that begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten God that formed you. Guys, this is the song for our generation. This is the song that's going to be sung. We're going to be justifying God, and we're going to realize that God has blessed us, and then we've forgotten him, and we need to return back to him. Isaiah 1, 2, and 3, it's the same thing. He says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." He says, "I brought up and nourished children, and they've rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doesn't know. My own people don't consider." This is incredible. And God's problem is not nearly with the wicked as much as it is with his own kids. That's where the problem, God has a problem. It's with, you know, if my kids would just do what I say, we could take care of the world. We could atone for the world. We could bring the world. But he has a hard time getting his kids to do what he says. They even want to throw out his rule book and say it doesn't apply anymore. Look at Zechariah 7. This is verses 11 through 13. It says concerning his kids, he's not speaking to the heathen. He said, "My own kids, they refuse to listen. They pulled away the shoulder. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. They made their hearts as an adamant stone lest they should hear the Torah." Oh, we don't want anything to do with that. "And the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets." This is why there came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. "Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I will not hear, says the Lord of hosts." I mean, this is incredible. God is crying out to follow his instructions. His kids say it's all done away with. They stop their ears. "I don't want to hear it." They pull the shoulder. Look at Jeremiah 6, 16 through 19. "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for what? The old paths. This is where the good way is. Walk in it and you will find rest for your souls." But what did they say? "We don't want to walk that way." And he says, "I'm going to set a watchman over you saying, listen to the sound of the shofar." But they said what? "I don't want to hear it." "Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, congregation, what is among them. Hear, earth, behold, I'm going to bring evil on this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they've not listened to my words, and as far as my Torah goes, they have rejected it." And then we wonder why all these judgments have come and are coming continually. We're living in these times where his own people have rejected his instruction. So let's look at Deuteronomy 32. Let's go back to the Song of Moses, verse 20 and 21. So what does God say? He says, "I'm going to hide my face, and I'm going to see what their end will be, for they are a very fraudulent generation, children in whom is no faith." See, that's what the generation of the wilderness was known as, a generation of no faith. The generation in Yeshua's time was known as a generation of no faith. And the generation when he comes back, he said, "Will I find faith when I come back?" We do not want to be the generation of no faith. And so, look at this. He says, "They moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They provoked me to anger and with their vanities." And he says, "I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation." Look what Romans 10, 19 and 20 says. He's quoting this verse. "But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you." And then he says, "But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me." Isn't that amazing that the nations, the Gentiles, are now coming to the Lord? And then look at Romans 11, 11 and 12. "I say then, have they stumbled, Israel stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles to do what? To provoke them to jealousy." And then it says, "If the fall of them be the riches of the world, the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" Okay, when they come to maturity, when the Gentiles even come to maturity, the church is to provoke Israel to jealousy, not to anger. We've only provoked them to anger over the last 2,000 years. And how do you provoke them to jealousy? That's the thing that needs to be understood. telling them they've been replaced does not provoke them to jealousy. Look at Jeremiah 16:19. This is a prophecy that's being fulfilled among the nations right now. It says, O Lord, my strength, my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles will come to you from the ends of the earth. And what are they going to say? Surely our fathers inherited lies, vanity, things wherein there is no profit. And they're going to realize our fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at Deuteronomy 32, back to the Song of Moses, verse 26 and 27. This is important. He says, I said I would scatter them into the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Well, guess what? That happened for the last 2,000 years. But then it says this, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversary should behave themselves strangely, and they should think and say, well, our hand is high, the Lord has not done all of this. In other words, the nations are going to think they're the ones who've destroyed Israel and prevented them from being around for 2,000 years and not give the credit where God says this was part of the plan. Well, the Gentiles are sure going to be surprised when God fulfills the rest of his plan and restores them, and they come back and all the nations have to come to Israel and bow down. Look at verse 29 through 31. Oh, that they were wise and they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. In other words, God is the big rock. No one else's rock can compare to God as the rock. He's the one that's going to be standing with Israel. Now, I can't help but think of Revelation as I read these next verses in Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 32, verse 41 and 42. God says, if I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies. I will reward those that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh. And that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges on the enemy. God has a sharp sword in his hand. That's what it says in Deuteronomy. Well, again, that's the Song of Moses talking about Revelation. And what do we find in Revelation 19:15? Out of his mouth goes what? A sharp sword. That with it he should smite all the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Look at verse 17, 18, and 21. What do we see? An angel standing in the sun. He cries with a loud voice, saying to all the birds of the air, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that you can eat the flesh of kings, captains, mighty men, the flesh of horses, those that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And then it says, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, the sword that proceeds out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You know, it's amazing. How many of you want to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb? The birds want to be there too. And the question is, what side of the table will you be on? Eating or being eaten? Okay. Everyone's going to be there. Look at Deuteronomy, Song of Moses, chapter 32, verse 43. He's telling the nations, you better rejoice with who? His people. That's not the church. That's the nation of Israel. And look what it says. Now, you got to understand, Deuteronomy 32 is similar to the book of Revelation. This is where, I don't know if you do this, but in the book of Revelation alone, there are over 600 references to the Tanakh and the Torah. How can you understand Revelation if you don't tie the verses back to the Tanakh and the Torah? And so often we superimpose our framework upon the Bible rather than letting the Bible interpret itself. Look what this says. Rejoice, you nations, with his people. Now, we're in Deuteronomy here. How many of you know there weren't any Christians in Deuteronomy? Okay. He will avenge the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance to his adversaries. He will be merciful to his land, which is not the United States, and his people. Now, look at Revelation 19:2 again, the Song of Moses. True and righteous are his judgments, as what we just were reading. He's judged the great whore, which corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. He's talking here referring back to the nation of Israel. This is a direct reference back to Deuteronomy 32:43. Yes, we can think in terms of Christians that have died, but you can't take it away from all of the blood of the servants of Israel that also. Hebrews 11 is known as the what? The faith chapter. And it lists all these Jewish people who died in faith. Now, where he says, rejoice, O you nations, with his people in Deuteronomy 32, that's what Paul's quoting in Romans 15, 8 through 12. Now I say Messiah has been made a servant of the circumcision for the truth of God, that he might confirm the promises given to the fathers. And here he's not talking about Martin Luther. He says that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy as is written. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Again, he says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. So this here, it gives you a definite reference. He's not referring to the Gentiles. He's referring to Israel. Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people praise him. Again, Isaiah says there will be the root of Jesse, he who arises to rule over Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles will hope. I don't know of any Jewish person in all of history the Gentiles hope in other than Yeshua. This is why the Jews should realize Yeshua has to be the Messiah, because he's the only Jewish person all the Gentiles trust in. But if you pull him out of his roots and say he was a Gentile, well, then how is Israel going to realize that he's the one this is talking about? Isaiah 11, 1, there'll come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch will grow out of his roots. Isaiah 11, 9 and 10, they'll not destroy or hurt in all my holy mountain. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which will stand for an ensign of the people. And to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest will be glorious. Deuteronomy 32:44, as it closes. And Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the ears of his people, he and Joshua, the son of Nun. I want to give you a little bit of the prophet section, the Haftorah that comes with this verse. Hosea 14:1 says, Israel, return to the Lord your God. You've fallen because of your sin. Well, I can't help but think of Revelation 2:4-5, where the Lord is speaking to a church and he says, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Remember from where you have what? Fallen, and return. Repent. Do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and I'll remove your candlestick, except you repent. Hosea 14:7-9. They that dwell under a shadow shall do what? Return. That's what this whole month of Elul is. That's what these 10 days are about, returning. They shall revive as the corn, grow as the vine. The scent will be as the wine of Lebanon. And look what Ephraim's going to say. What have I to do anymore with these stupid idols? I have heard him. He's listening. Look at that. He says, I heard him. I've observed him. I'm like a green fir tree. For me is your fruit found. The Lord says, it's from me your fruit is found. Who is wise? Who's going to understand these things? Who's going to be prudent and is going to know them? The ways of the Lord are right. The just are going to walk in them, but the transgressors are going to fall. So the very thing that stumbles one group of people is the very thing that others are walking in. Micah 7:18-20. Who is a God like you that pardons iniquity, passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He doesn't retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He'll have compassion on us. He'll subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all their sin into the depths of the sea. That's another one of the Haftorah, because we have Yom Kippur coming. Look at Joel 2:15-16. Blow the shofar in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out from under her huppah. This is referring to the wedding. Finally, Joel 2:23. Be glad, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. He's given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. And that first month here is Tishri. And so a time is coming. I believe that, like in the book of Acts, the outpouring of God is going to be just twofold, and it'll happen some year in this month. Okay, good. I'm not rushed, because I have something that I want to share with you guys. I feel like the Lord has kind of shown me over the last couple of weeks that I want to share with you. You can ponder these thoughts with me. How many of you know there's been some problems around the world lately? This is a picture. My son that fell from the waterfall is doing real good. He's up here with us, and he was down visiting a friend on the Washington-Oregon border. How many of you know what's been going on the Washington-Oregon border? I mean, fortunately, this is a picture that they sent me from his house, looking across the Columbia River into Oregon, what was going on. But here we've had these fires, and fortunately with all this rain, hopefully they're all put out. I haven't heard recently, but we've had all these wildfires. There was like 80 large wildfires, you know, across 9 western states, covering about 2,200 square miles. And then we've had these major earthquakes, September 7th and 8.1 in Mexico. And I don't know if you knew, but just the other day, September 19th, they had another one, 7.1. And over in Japan, just recently, on September 7th, a 6.1. And then again, September 20th, a 6.1. And so here we have all these, you know, these wildfires across the Northwest. We've got all these hurricanes, you know, 4 major hurricanes. And I just want to bring this up for those that haven't been following. The one that hit Puerto Rico in the bullseye that just devastated it. Yesterday I was reading that there was a dam built in 1929 that, you know, was, they were worried it was going to break, and they were evacuating everybody. It held back 8 billion gallons of water. This morning I read the dam broke. And so it's like, you know, we need to really be lifting up the people in Puerto Rico. But here we've got, you know, in the Northwest, all these fires, South, Southeast, this. You have the problem that's going on in St. Louis, you know, ethnic group rising against ethnic group. This was a headline I saw in the newspaper the other day. It says, with 4 big hurricanes, a powerful earthquake, wildfires, it seems that nature recently has just gone nuts. You know, so what I want to talk about now is, as I was doing some more research, I came across some things that I thought I may ought to bring up. I want you to notice in January of this coming year, let me bring up my little drawing thing so people on the internet can see this as well. Here's a holiday called Tu B'Shavat. Who has never heard of Tu B'Shavat? I figured most of you may not have. Many of you have. Tu B'Shavat is a very significant biblical holiday. I'll be talking about that in a minute. But what I want to point out is, we have a total lunar eclipse happening on Tu B'Shavat, which is January 31st this next year. Then, there are only 3 total lunar eclipses coming up in a row. They fall on Tu B'Shavat. Then they also fall on, let me bring this up, the 15th of Av, Tu B'Av. Many of you are familiar with the 9th of Av, the destruction of the temple. Well, Tu B'Av is the 15th of Av, and I'll explain that more here in just a minute. But there's also a total lunar eclipse on Tu B'Av, followed in January of 2019, there is another total lunar eclipse on Tu B'Shavat. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, first, I want to make this very simple. So we're going to start with the Hebrew Aleph Bet. And just like in Roman numerals, the letters are also numbers. It's the same thing in Hebrew. So the Aleph is 1, okay? So the first 10 letters are 1 through 10. And you'll notice the letter Tet is the number 9. The Vav is 6. Everyone see that? Okay, we have 6 and 9. Now, when I say Tu B'Shavat, the letter Tet is 9, the Vav is 6, so that means the 15th of the month of Shavat. So 2 is a number. Now, notice the 2 little asterisks. That's so when you see it, you know it's not a word. These are numbers. Now, sometimes when they talk about Tu B'Shavat, they don't have the 2 little dots. But just realize 2 is the Tet and the Vav, which is the sound 2. But it means the 15th. The letter Bet is of. And then Shavat is the month of Shavat. And so when I say Tu B'Av, I'm meaning the 15th day of the month of Av, which is around July. But right now I want to focus on Tu B'Shavat, the total lunar eclipse that's coming up in the end of January this next year. Now, as most of you know also, This last year was 5777. And the seventh letter, or the seventh number in Hebrew, is the Zayin. And the Zayin is represented by a sword. So it's like these three swords. And here we also have coming up this next year, three total lunar eclipses. And so I want to introduce you to the importance of Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shevat when these total lunar eclipses fall. So we're going to start on your notes with Judges 21, verse 6. Many of you are familiar when Benjamin had done something very horrible, the tribe of Benjamin, and they were almost completely destroyed. Judges 21, 6, the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin, their brother, because the other tribes had almost wiped out that tribe. And they said, there is one tribe now cut off from Israel this day. And in verse 19, they said, okay, look, there's a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem and on the south of Lebanon. Okay, here's what happened. The tribe of Benjamin had protected, you know, this guy who had cut up this lady and all these, you know, they ended up cutting her up and sending her to all the tribes because of how she was treated. So anyway, all the tribes got together and they vowed not to give any of their children to the sons of Benjamin for wives, okay? And then they went and destroyed all the children of Benjamin. It's like the tribe's cut off. What are we going to do? We made a vow to God. We can't give our daughters to their sons. So they came up with a plan. Okay, I know. We can still keep our vow. We won't give our daughters to them, but we'll let them come and get them. So what they did, they had at Shiloh, they had this event where their daughters would sing and dance, and then the sons of Benjamin would come and find one for wife. That way they could save the tribe of Benjamin, and they would still fulfill their vow because they, quote unquote, didn't give them to them. Okay, so we see in Judges 21:22, it says, therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in the dances, then you come out of the vineyard and catch every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh and go to the land of Benjamin. And it'll be when their fathers or their brothers come to us and complain because they're thinking they broke a vow, that we will say to them, oh, be favorable to them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war, for you did not give to them at this time that you should be guilty. Okay. So, the 15th of Av, or Tu B'Av, is kind of like a Valentine's Day. Tu B'Av is a day of love. It's the love for the nation of Israel. They also say on the 9th of Av was the sin of the spies, and Tu B'Av is also to kind of atone for the sin of the spies. And they say right now there's no happier days for the people of Israel than on the 15th of Av, as well as Yom Kippur. It says, since on these days the daughters of Israel, Jerusalem, go out dressed in white and they dance in the vineyards. And what were they saying? They were saying, young man, consider whom you choose to be your wife. So in other words, Tu B'Av is, they say, when God is looking to choose his wife. Okay? Interesting. Okay. And so it's the Jewish day of love. Just as Yom Kippur symbolizes the atonement for the sin of the golden calf, Tu B'Av signifies the atonement for the sin of the spies. If you give me about 10 more minutes. Listen, I'm going to tie also to Tu B'Shevat. Okay, Tu B'Shevat is the year of trees. Now, where is that in the Bible? Let's look. Okay, Leviticus 19, verse 23 through 25. It says, when you come into the land, you'll have planted all manner of trees for food. You to count the fruit thereof as what? You can't eat of the fruit of your own tree. For how long? For 3 years, the fruit is forbidden to you. It's not to be eaten. In the fourth year, you still can't eat it because all the fruit is to be considered holy, giving praise to the Lord. But in the fifth year, you can eat of the fruit that it may yield unto you more richly the increase thereof. I'm the Lord your God. So just as, I mean, people get confused. How can there be two calendars? Guess what, guys? There's four, okay? Nisan 1 to Nisan 1 is the religious year. Tishri 1 to Tishri 1 is the civil year. Tu B'Shevat to Tu B'Shevat is the year for trees. Think about this. If you can't eat of a tree till the fifth year, if you plant 500 trees in your yard on all different days, how are you going to keep track of which one is the year up on what day? So what Israel does, they have Tu B'Shevat is the annual day for trees. So even if you planted a tree 2 months into the year or the day before, once Tu B'Shevat hit, everything that's planted is considered 1 year. Okay, so once a year, it covers all the trees that were planted that year. That's its first year, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Okay, now, what do we know about trees? Psalms 1:3, human beings are to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and we're to bring forth fruit in its season. Okay, so here we see people referred to as trees. John 15:16, God says, you didn't choose me, I chose you, appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatever you will ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So we're not only to be trees, we are to be trees that bear what? Fruit. And God also wants to partake of the fruit that's produced of our tree. Look what we see in Luke 13:5-9. I tell you, unless you repent, you'll all perish in the same way. So he spoke a parable, how a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came seeking fruit, and he found none. So he said to the vine dresser, behold, how many years? These 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I found none. Cut it down. Why does it waste the soil? And he said, Lord, leave it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit, fine. But if not, then cut it down. Matthew 24:32-34. Here we see a fig tree. Again, we're to learn a parable. When its branch is now tender and puts forth its leaves, know that summer is near. So you know the seasons by the fruit being produced. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Certainly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away till all these things are accomplished. Ecclesiastes 3:1, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So in summary, Tu B'Shevat is a signal for a change in season. Just how do you know the season change? When the leaves change color, when they start producing fruit. Okay, well, Tu B'Shevat is the signal for a season change from winter going into spring. It's the annual time to inspect the trees for fruit. Every Tu B'Shevat, God is inspecting trees for the fruit. Do you have fruit in your life? He's looking at the fruit in your life. Let's look at Jeremiah 1:10-12. See, I have set this day, I have this day set you over all the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Doesn't that sound just like Ecclesiastes 3? There's a time and a season for everything. Hello? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord to me, you have well seen, for I will watch over my word to perform it. The Hebrew word for almond and the Hebrew word for watch is identical. And so this is a play on words. And the almond tree is one of the first trees to bloom or blossom in the spring at the change of seasons. So the very first vision Jeremiah experiences as a prophet is one of an almond staff representing the forthcoming blossoming of intense and hastened punishment that's coming on Israel. An almond staff is presented in the Torah as a staff of leadership and also miracles. Remember Aaron's rod that had died, that blossomed and budded? So an almond rod can be seen as something miraculous and a blessing, but that same rod is used as punishment. In Numbers 17:10, look at Aaron's rod that budded. The Lord says to Moses, put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept for a token against the children of the rebellion, that you may make an end of their murmuring against me, that they don't die. So Aaron's rod that budded was a testimony of miracles, testimony of authority, but that same rod that is a good rod is also used to punish those that aren't good. So the word of God is good and bad. It's good if you follow it, it's bad if you don't. Well, now we've just ended the Hebrew year 5777, which I believe represented three swords being raised. Fortunately, there was judgment this last year, but I think these three swords that were held up were stayed out of mercy compared to what could be coming, and I'm going to tell you why. Very similar to Balaam. How do you know Balaam was a bad guy? Look at Numbers 22:31-34. The Lord opens the eyes of Balaam. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and what? His sword is drawn in his hand. And what does Balaam do? He bows down and falls on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? He says, I've come forth as an adversary because your way is perverse before me. And the donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times unless you had turned aside from me, surely now I would have killed you and saved her alive. And Balaam said to the angel, Lord, I have sinned. I ain't going to go that way. Okay, Balaam repented. The angel, the sword of the Lord was raised three times. Balaam was being judged. His foot got slammed against the wall, but he repented. He was spared for a little bit. Okay, how about David? Look what David saw. He saw the destroying angel with his sword drawn as 3 days of destruction was about to come on Jerusalem. 1 Chronicles 21:11-12. Gad comes to David and says, thus saith the Lord, take your choice, David. You get 3 years of famine, 3 months to be consumed before your foes while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or you can have 3 days of the sword of the Lord. So I see again, these sword in these 3 days, it's raised. And so what do we see in verse 16? David lifts up his eyes. He sees the angel of the Lord standing between the earth and the sky, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. And David and the elders are clothed in sackcloth. They fall on their faces. And guess what? The Lord stayed the hand. And I believe this last year, maybe even the last 3 years, God's sword has been raised, seeing what we're going to do. But now as we turn to 78, now the sword is going to be done or not done, depending on how we've behaved. Okay. Well, here we have these three blood red moons in a row coming, starting this next year on Tuba Av, also in 2019. Now, we also read the scriptures about the blossoming of the fig tree, the beginning of Israel becoming a nation, being a major sign. And it so happened, it was when? In the spring. Okay, April, May. This is when they blossomed forth as a fig tree. They were born in a day. Now, in Revelation, I'm now going to bring all this together. Revelation is chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. It says he opened the second seal. Remember, he was opening the second seal in that video. I thought it was quite interesting. Listen to this. He opened, and I heard a second living creature say, come. And another came forth, a red horse. To him who sat on it was given power to do what? To take peace from the earth, that they would kill one another. There was given to him a great sword. Okay, so here was given to him a great sword. The man on the red horse was given this great sword. He's to take peace from the earth, which means there's some level of peace on the earth. Now, I'm about to tie the Revelation, red horse, sword, war, taking peace from the earth. I'm going to tie it to the next three blood moons coming with Zechariah chapter 1. Do you know, look at what happens in Zechariah 1, and we're going to start with verse 7. He says, it was on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month what? Okay, what do we find? The red horse of Revelation vision takes place in the month of Shavat, which is 9 days after Tuba Shavat and a blood red moon this next year. So in the very month of Shavat, which is a month of inspecting the trees for fruit, this is the same month the red horse vision takes place. And look at what it says here. Also, it was in the second year of a new administration that this took place. Okay. Now, watch this. Here, let me put that up there. Okay. Zechariah 1. Let's look at verse 8 through 10. He says, I had a vision in the night, and behold, there was a man riding on a red horse, and he's standing among what? Tuba Shavat is about what? The trees. Where's the red horse located? In the trees. When is the blood moon? On the day of Tuba Shavat. And behind him were red, brown, and white horses. And I asked my Lord, what are these? The angel talked with me and said, I'll show you what these are. The man stood among the myrtle trees, saying, these are the ones the Lord has sent to go back and forth throughout the earth. What is he doing? He's inspecting the trees, seeing if there's fruit among the trees. Do I cut the tree down this year or do I spare it? Just like in the Gospels. Look at verse 11 of Zechariah 1. They reported to the angel and said, who stood among the myrtle trees? We've walked back and forth through the earth, and behold, all the earth is at rest and peace. And what does the Revelation horses do? He takes the peace from the earth. Okay? And again, this happens in the month of Shavat. Zechariah 1 verse 12. Look at this. Zechariah's vision. He says, then the angel of the Lord replied, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you've had indignation these 70 years? Here was at the end of the 70 years of captivity. He's looking at the vision of the red horse. And here we are at the end of the 70th anniversary of Israel being reborn. And now, here God declares he's very jealous over Jerusalem. And then what do we see in verse 15 and 16? He says, I'm angry with these nations that are at ease, for I was a little displeased, but they added to the calamity. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I return to Jerusalem with mercy. My house will be built in it. Could the temple be built next year? You following me? It was at the end of the 70 years. He says, my temple will be built. I don't know if it'll be built next year, but it looks like definitely this is showing a pattern that the intent to build the temple could be there. And he says, a line will be stretched out over Jerusalem. Why is a line being stretched out over Jerusalem? God is measuring. He says, I'm the one who's going to determine Jerusalem borders, not the UN. Amen. Listen, this is Zechariah 2:1. I lifted up my eyes and saw, behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And I asked, what are you going? And he said, I'm going to measure Jerusalem to see what its breadth and what is its length. God says, and this is the time we're in. Okay, the nations want to keep Jerusalem divided, and God says, no, this is not happening. So let's look at what's next back in verse 18 and 19. He lifts up his eyes, and he saw four horns, and I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these? And he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah and Israel and Jerusalem. These four horns have been keeping Israel and Jerusalem from being one. Who are these four horns pushing for a divided Jerusalem and Israel? I can tell you right now, look at this. In Zechariah's vision, it's about the rebuilding of the temple. Here's an article from Israel Today. Rabbis were urging Trump and Putin to help rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. It's time to build the temple. This is just what we were reading in Zechariah. What time is it? What season? It's time to build the temple. Well, who are these four horns? Look at this. Here we have the United Nations writes, they consider East Jerusalem to be occupied Palestinian territory. Look at the Trump administration. An advance official causes risk saying Western Wall is not even part of Israel. Okay, look at this. The EU joins criticism of Israel's East Jerusalem West Bank building plan. Russia recognizes West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. East Jerusalem is the capital of the future Palestinian state. I don't know if you knew this, but these four are called the quartet. The four horns, guys. It is the EU, and this is their mandate. The quartet was found in 2002, and the quartet's mandate, it says, first off, the quartet consists of the UN, the EU, the United States, and Russia. Its mandate is to help mediate Middle East peace negotiations and to support Palestinian economic development and institution building in preparation for eventual statehood. This is the quartet, the four horns Zechariah is speaking of, that is preventing Israel from being one, Jerusalem from being one. So look what happens. Look at this, Zechariah 1:21. What do we find next? The Lord shows me these four craftsmen. I said, well, what are these coming to do? And he said, these horns, which have scattered Judah, so no one lifted up his head, these four carpenters are coming to terrify them, to cast down the horns of these nations, which have lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. Why? Because God wants to determine Israel's borders, Jerusalem borders, and rebuild his temple. So could this next year be the year of the red horse being unleashed and the decision made to rebuild the temple? Here we have world tensions right now with North Korea as well as Iran. And I believe we need to repent and throw ourselves, as David did, on the mercy of God. And maybe we too can stay or mitigate the sword of the Lord. The books are not closed until next weekend. Yom Kippur. But anyway, I just wanted to tie all these things together. And so let's stand and pray. Sorry I went over. And then we'll, after I pray, we'll sing a little bit. If you want to come up and pray and intercede for our nation, for our world, for your families, for your friends, I believe this next year is going to be, the sword has been stayed the last 3 years, but I think this next year there's a potential we could see things like we've never seen before. Hopefully we won't see a war with Korea or Iran, but in Israel, but we'll have to pray. I tell you what, I really believe that it's not all fate. We can throw ourselves on the mercy of the Lord. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we just throw ourselves upon you and ask, Lord, that you would speak to all of our hearts. that we would seek your face, that we would not be as frogs in the water, not realizing what is coming. You said there would be not just one, but many signs in the heavens of your coming, that we should be looking up. And Father, I pray that we would be aware and that we would actively be seeking your kingdom and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we just ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Adonai ve'ish mereka ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem l'ka shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in that most wonderful name. Eyeh asher eyeh. Amen and go in peace. Thank you very much.